need a break. Relax, grab a coffee, and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Great to have your company again this Wednesday afternoon. Wow, we're starting to get into that busy season, and I think I'm now allowed to say the word Christmas, and it's just going crazy out there, isn't it? So for you, it's time to take 25. Sit back, relax, pour yourself a cuppa and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM. Caused a bit of toe tapping and hip wiggling there. Wow, welcome back. So, wow, it was kind of last week was a bit heavy and quite emotional, and something that's made me think about, you know, during the week. But it is important, I think, that we think about how we can help people. And for some reason, we always think young people, but every people that are not feeling in a good space, and how can we help it, and maybe how can we recognise them as well. So, Te Omaka, welcome back again. Thank you so much for sharing your story last week. And hopefully now we can just maybe reflect back and just think about, because I'm sure we've all known somebody, you know, and reflect back. How can we recognise maybe some of those signals, or just be there, Yeah. Now, Irene, if I remember correctly, you were down in Hamilton in probably around the era with all of those drunken students. And
well, that's been going on for absolutely years. And T and I have had a talk, and I was actually long before his time. he was about 20 years after me, but that's fine. But the whole thing, I mean, I used to love the students' antics. It was my job to keep them under control and in one way or another and organise all their non-academic side. And I had the most amazing fun with them. I really did enjoy them, like getting a phone call from a neighbour. Can you please come over and sort your students out? I've just seen the rugby goalpost running down the street. And these guys have gone and pulled this goalpost out and as a party trick.
As you do.
You know, this thing's massive. I've got the police, I've got the power company, I've got everybody running around everywhere trying to sort these guys out. But I think the best one I had was the police called me one morning at about 7:30, 8 o'clock and said, you have to get your backside down here and sort your students out. They're causing a massive traffic jam in downtown Auckland. So I go racing down and the cops actually pick me up on the back of a bike at the end of Anglesey Street because the cars are backed up right to the end and I can't get down to the massive roundabout where the problem is. So they shoot me down there and here's this toilet, a perfectly ordinary white toilet sitting in the middle of this roundabout. And there is a young man sitting on it, and he has got the most immaculate business suit on, his hat included, his trousers are down around his ankles, he's totally bare-assed, and he's reading the paper. He's not doing anything else. That's all he's doing, and the traffic is banked up for miles.
Oh, yeah. That happened
so much fun. So much fun.
All the antics we get up to, eh? Gosh.
I could talk for hours. Fun. So, T, what antics did you get up to like that?
Oh, the antics. Well, they actually promoted at the uni. You know, they got this whole treasure race. So you're going around dressed as a condom and just doing random, turning up in random places and doing random things, random poses. You're trying to get honks from people. It's next level. And then the biggest one, though, is when uni games comes to town.
Don't remind me. Yes.
And you create a friend out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, what mischief can we get up together? Then all of a sudden, you see the Hillcrest bus going from the university to town with a rope behind it tied to a rubbish bin that has stuff in it with fire coming out of it. Yeah. It wasn't me. I just saw that happen. I was close to the people that were doing it, but it wasn't me.
That's funny. So you can see with all that fun stuff that goes on, and it does when we're young, and God, we should have a whole lot of fun. But I suppose we can see that's where sometimes we're so busy just thinking everybody's having fun that we miss people that may not be having so much fun as well. Yeah.
And because they are having so much fun and there's so much alcohol and drugs involved, I mean, the Hillcrest pub was always ringing me up saying, it's out of control, you have to get some of your boys down here, because I had a huge security staff to help us get it under control, you know. But because there is so much drugs and alcohol, the hangovers and the, you know, the high from the drugs and alcohol goes down the next day, yep, and the depression is massive the next day. And back in my day, we just put it down to a hangover, you know. So I would pull students in that were starting to fail in class or not turning up for lectures and things and give them the standard talk, you know, you're going to fail if this doesn't happen, blah, blah, blah. And in actual fact, they are so depressed, I'm only thinking hangover. I'm not thinking depression. Now we know it's depression. So I wonder if I'm really hoping they're doing things a lot different in the universities now than what I did. I had two counsellors that people could go to that were fully trained counsellors that my students could go to free of charge.
Yep.
In those days. Do they still have them? Do they have them better trained so that they, I mean, what do they have nowadays, Dee?
They had them in my time in terms of what they have now, which is like, 10 years later, 12 years later. I can only imagine that they picked up their game, but they were pretty solid during my time, and I did get some help, and right, they were able to help.
Oh, that's good to hear.
As well. Yeah.
I know that the universities, yeah, they do have, but, you know, as you were talking about that, I was thinking, yeah, would you go? Kind of, would that be seen as a weakness you know, isn't it funny how your mind thinks? And, you know, would it be seen as a weakness? And I think this is coming back to what you were saying, you know, as we're brought up to be tough, to be independent, you know, and here's my little brain going, oh, gosh, would I go? Because that might be seen as a weakness, you know, if I go and admit I've been to go and see the counsellor.
Well, I actually sort of got a mini intervention, because what I did was I ran away from the RA who was looking after our hostel at the time, and I got into a block 5 in Student Village, and I was hiding in a room, and they were trying to find us because we'd done something naughty, and I ended up scaling out the window, scaling down to the ground. But what I didn't realise is I thought they'd come into the building, but they'd gone around the back of the building. And so when I scaled down, I landed, and they were right there looking at me. And they essentially just went, we need to talk. And they pretty much said, you got to go. And they these were people on my level, and they were really nice to me in their roles and outside of their roles. And I sort of respected them enough to go, yeah, maybe we'll go have a chat. Yeah, and so I had a chat, and it helped me a little bit and helped me understand what was going on. But then at the same time, I was still busy wanting to get drunk, and the drunkenness and the partners would just take all their good work away, essentially.
Yeah.
But that was my first inkling, and that maybe I could do something else, but I didn't.
Yeah. And I know, like, John Kirwan on telly's been, wow, he's been huge, I suppose, I don't know, getting people to think about it more, getting people to talk about it. And, you know, I always hear that men never talk about their feelings, but I don't know whether all women do either. So, but generally speaking, I suppose maybe men are worse at that.
I think they're loads better than they used to be. And it's the John Kirwans of this world who came out as the big All Black, I've got this problem, that made it okay for big, strong, tough men to be able to talk about these things.
And
so, you know, when you're thinking, I'm still thinking weakness, I've got to change my mindset.
It's not.
You know.
It's an illness.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Or you just need a little bit of help at that particular time, because shit happens.
To say the least.
I would like to hope that parents aren't nowadays telling their children it's a weakness anymore. And I would like to hope that parents are nowadays letting their children see that they love them by their positive actions rather than, I mean, parents can sometimes be very disciplinarian because they think they're doing the best thing for their child, but if the child's not feeling loved, then they are doing something wrong.
And there's that difference, isn't there? I mean, you can have discipline with love, and maybe that's what we kind of need. And I suppose now, sorry, T, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Thinking about you now as a parent and going through what you have been through, I'm presuming that's really given you some insight to maybe how not to parent, maybe in the way that your parents did.
Yeah, definitely. But one thing you have to be mindful is someone that goes through an experience, or someone that sees or hears about the experiences, they can tend to go, well, if that was the wrong thing to do, I'm going to do the completely opposite.
And, yes.
And you can go do the opposite, but my theory is don't go too far. It's good to do the good things, but don't go and be super extreme and try to make sure that they never fall and hurt themselves. There's got to be that little bit of, I don't know, trauma or a little bit of struggle. They need a little bit of struggle just so they can build that resilience. But for me, it's to ensure that my kids have the ability or the space to address an issue. Now, one of the things that I do get wrong is my initial reaction is to be like my mother. So sometimes that initial reaction might come out, but then I'm able to catch it in the moment. Or sometimes she'll come out and she won't be nowhere near as harsh as my mother, but I'll do something a bit militant. And then afterwards, I'll quickly realise, oh, cool, then I'll come back and have a conversation, open up the space for the conversation, and this is with a 4-5-year-old, and just to let him just to be able to talk about it. But just creating that space, I think, will do a world of good by giving the kids their space. And you'll be able to recognise, for me, the things that I was doing that parents might be able to recognise is when I was having an emotional issue, I would run away and not address it. I would hide it. I would sit there and turn my back. If your kid can't handle emotional issues and runs away and hides, but does that from a young age through all the ages coming up to 11 and 12, you're going to start looking at the markers going, what's going on here? And then the other thing is, it's the world of distractions doesn't help us either. one thing that I learned from my CEO who's helped me on this whole suicide prevention thing was when she went into the workforce, realised that we don't get time in the workforce to address the thing. The kids at school don't get time to address these things. No one gets the time to address these things. And then by the time you get home, you're just trying to, you know, have your dinner, get things happening, get the kids to sleep, have a bit of a relax, and then try to think about it and go, oh, no, I'm tired now, and you sleep. And then the next day starts all over again.
And that's kind of, and maybe this is a huge contributor to, you know, why we are feeling the way we are today. Just we don't have time anymore. We're so busy just trying to survive, maybe. I don't know, you know, just thinking about that. You just mentioned suicide prevention there, and I've been on a suicide prevention course. It was a two-day course run by Lifeline, and I would recommend anybody to do that course. It's an amazing course, and I still have the little leaflet I carry around in my wallet. If I do come across someone feeling that way, it takes me through the steps that how I can actually help them. Yeah. And, you know, so it's not well publicised, but maybe it does need to be publicised more that there is training for all of us that so that we can help somebody, you know, if we find somebody in that situation, because it's actually pretty hard, I think, to know what to do to help somebody. You just, I don't know, sometimes maybe you just walk away and think, oh my God, you know, yeah, I don't want anything to do with this. But just having some skills to actually be able to help someone when they're in that situation. Yep. I presume Lifeline still does run those courses, and we'll find out and we'll put that up on the website. But again, a great course to give ourselves some skills as well.
I would think with our suicide rate too, that the government would be running an ad on TV constantly, all the time, just not take it off until our suicide rate gets down. And if that's the Lifeline ad, the best place to send people, then let's do it. Does the government give Lifeline any help? Be interesting to find out these
things. Yeah, they are funded. But like anything, they also have to do their own funding. Actually, at Counties Manukau DHB, they do run a community workshop, and I think it's run over a couple of weekends, and it's run, I think, from I should look it up. Maybe we'll get them in as well. But it's run out of the mental health side of things. But it's run for families in the community to help recognise some signs.
No, that's cool.
Because I wouldn't know what I'm looking for. You know, as you say, you know, as we said last week, yeah, happy-go-lucky, I would have no idea whatsoever, you know, that something was wrong because I'm busy being happy-go-lucky with you and thinking I've got a cool friend. So I'm one of the cool people. But you're right, you know, what are those little signs that, and so they run that over a couple of weekends to help, you know, the community down there to just, what are we looking for?
Yes, and there's a lot of people that are on their own nowadays with social media, and that they're not getting out and making friends and spending a lot of time with other people like we used to in our day when there wasn't social media. So those people are, I think, the most vulnerable, particularly the ones, the overseas students, and they have the pressure from their parents to achieve very highly, and they've got nobody to talk to half the time.
That's a biggie, isn't it? Because, who do you turn to? Who do you trust? And I suppose that's a big thing. Who do I trust to open up to?
But then it's a whole new different problem because that's the culture. And therefore, you don't even think who you can trust. It's not even one of the thoughts that come in because this is just the way that I behave. Amazing.
Yeah.
So you can't even get to that because that's your habit.
Okay. That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
And I suppose, and again, I'm not sure how it works. I suppose once you, especially if you end up in hospital, to what services or what you are provided after that, what follow-up are you provided after that? Yeah. So I'm just thinking back to your experience. Did they just think you were being a bit of a larrikin and jumping off the bridge, or did they recognise that?
Larrikin. Alcohol. Yeah. You know, there was alcohol involved, although it was 11 a.m. in the morning, but, you know, just a larrikin.
Yeah. So it is, it's trying to decipher, isn't it? And maybe we are a bit wiser these days, especially now that it is more out in the open, that we're thinking a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I'm thinking of the two members of my family that I know that suffer from depression. One still doesn't get it. The other one does. The older one doesn't get it. The younger one does, you know?
Yeah.
And the younger one's understands enough to know that when she starts dropping back into those patterns again, to give Nana a ring, you know?
That, and that's And that's the thing. Like, from 2012 to 2017, I managed my emotional self, my career self, everything about me out of spreadsheets. And I've got them all through my Google Drive at the moment. And then the last 2 years, I've managed everything out of a booklet, which I input data into every day. And that whole process has helped me just sort of build myself up so I can just build this person that could handle a whole lot of pressure. But if I could not see the thoughts and if I could not acknowledge the thoughts, all that building and resilience and all this amazing stuff I've done, it doesn't really mean that much. Mm. And once I made that click, oh, the understanding, the realizing, I'm walking into this, I'm causing this for myself, this is what's happening. You do get in your head a little bit, but it does get you to a place where you start seeing
these thoughts.
Well,
do you realize that you are incredibly lucky and incredibly successful, because a lot of people, I mean, what you're actually saying is you actually have started to understand who you are as a person and to accept yourself as a person, and a lot of people never get that.
Never.
They die before, you know, they just never get it. And you can see them, and you can see them still struggling with life when they're in their 40s and 50s, and it's because they're just not really getting in touch with themselves at all. It's a hard thing for
And I suppose, too, it's each person, as you said, and I think you said this last week, this is your story. Everybody's story is going to be different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so is there one answer? No. And so it's probably finding that strategy that works for you as an individual. But how? I suppose it's getting someone to help you find that. Because, I don't know, I suppose it's like, where do we start?
And where do we look? Do we know where the highest level of problems are? What age group is, you know, should we be looking at a certain area a little bit more intensely?
Now, I know also from your experience, if I remember rightly, you started up, you did some community training to help people kind of look a bit more at themselves and understand themselves.
Yep. So I'd done some community training, and that was just sort of just talking to people around the stuff that I'd done to sort of help myself and to sort of just open eyes, essentially. Give you a methodology to open your eyes to yourself. But one thing I realised quickly, like you said before, that worked for me because I'm a structured, I'm routine, I like spreadsheets, I like lines, and I realised that wasn't going to really work for them. So, once again, it's just to find that thing that works for you. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
So I think what I've taken, because, God, we're just about running out of time again. Oh, my God, we could go on around this forever, couldn't we? But one thing I've really taken out of it is to be or allowing the people that are very close to you, whether it's your children, your friends, your family, to be able to share their emotions and giving them time and being with them, or having time to be with them and allowing them to, and maybe encouraging to share their emotions, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey.
More than welcome.
We will put those numbers up on the website, or all of the numbers that from Lifeline, Youthline. I'm sure John Kerwin, I heard you say Sir John Kerwin, and did you say that?
Did I? No,
you
I
did.
Didn't, but I wish I did.
Is he
I
Sir
totally
John?
Forgot. Yes, he is.
Oh, well, then,
yes,
then me. That's me getting it wrong. But anyway, I'm sure there's some great information out there. And, you know, if you are feeling in a really bad place, maybe just reach out to somebody. And if you don't have anybody, well, as you said, it might not be a trusted friend. It might be a stranger or ring one of the numbers, Lifeline or Youthline. Well, that's it. Again, do share your thoughts with us up on our Facebook page, and we'll see you the same time, same place next week.
You've been listening to Two Sugars, brought to you by Delacro Communication, delacro.co.nz.